The Delegates' Assembly is back in session, and the next item on our agenda is the election to fill the vacant director position. And it's my understanding that there are two people who are eligible for this position. One of them is Anthony, and the other is Lewis. And Lewis has said that he is interested in the position, and I presume you are also. I mean, we're going to take nominations, but I just am opening the subject. Go ahead. Did you want to talk? Or?
Well, whenever the time comes.
Okay. Craig wanted to say something.
Well, I just wanted to clarify the seat that's open on the PNB was previously filled by Brian Edwards-Tiekert, who was a staff rep. So it needs to be filled by a staff rep to this board. And the bylaws state that you have to have at least 1 year of service on this board under your belt in order to be eligible to serve on the PNB, which is why Carol said that, by her calculation, Anthony and Lewis were the only eligible candidates.
The remainder of the term is through January when the next ones are elected. So the new LSB will have an election in January for new. Oh, and Joy is eligible. Joy is also eligible. Da-da-da-da. Right. Okay. Janet.
Right. And Frank is also eligible, but I want to add that this is to be an IRV election per the bylaws. So it requires a ballot and all that.
We've got ballots here. Okay. So nominations are open. Margie.
I nominate Lewis Sawyer.
Is there a second?
Yes.
There's a second. Okay. Sharon?
I nominate Anthony Fest.
Okay. okay. Any other nominations? Going once? Going twice? There we go. Okay. So there are two people running, and do you want to make a statement?
I'm Anthony Fest. I've been around KPFA quite a long time. I took the 1994 news training class and somehow kept hanging around ever since. Hosted the Sunday news every other week for 20 years. And now I produce the Project Censored show, the Poor News segment of Hard Knock Radio. And I help out on Andres Soto's program. I've run for the LSB three times altogether, been elected all three times. In the 2009 election, I came in first. This election, I came in close second. So I think it's clear I have a strong base of support on the staff. My attendance has been good. I don't think I miss more than one LSB meeting a year. But I've never been on the PNB, but I'm willing to try it and give it my best effort. And with that, I would ask for your vote. Thank you.
Sure. Go ahead.
So Lewis Sawyer is a longtime music programmer on KPFA and is highly regarded by the staff. He was a staff representative on this LSB previously and served a three-year term at that time. He did not run for re-election until this year when he ran and has been re-elected to the LSB. And I think we, those of us who served with Lewis, found his perspective, his depth of understanding, and his humanity very compelling. And I urge people to vote for Lewis. It's spelled L-E-W-I-S. Sawyer, like Tom Sawyer.
Okay. Bill, you've got to get a microphone.
Anthony. Anthony, do you have a view on whether or not Pacifica needs a reorganization? And if so, what do you think it needs in terms of reorganization?
You know, lately it seems some people say, oh, the problems are due to the bylaws, but we've had these bylaws since only a couple of years after the 99 crisis, so I don't think the bylaws are the problem. I don't think we need to turn things up and upside down. I think perhaps, since the stations are dispersed across the entire breadth of the country, maybe there ought to be more autonomy to the individual stations. Not that they don't have considerable amount already, but I think what we really need to do, at each station is to get down to the business of doing good radio. I can't speak for New York or Houston. I know they have all manner of problems in New York, but for here, I would say what we need are more voices and more innovation, rather than the same show continuing on, decades on end. We report on social change, so I think KPFA itself needs to change more often. Bring in more people, bring in more diverse populations. Does that answer your question?
Can we, okay, so let's, Janet wants to say something. Give Janet.
So I wanted to describe how to fill these out, how to vote.
I think you either put Lewis's name or Anthony's name.
No.
Or you can write Lewis first, Anthony second.
And
or
you can also,
Anthony first, Lewis second.
And you can also include a write-in person. Somebody doesn't have to be nominated. So instant runoff voting, that's what it is.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Could people please put out their ballot? And I would ask Aki and Christina to count these ballots, if you would be so kind. Yeah, you. And I think, wait, one more. Now we know who voted what way. We can tell who voted what way on that one. Okay. So how many ballots are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 ballots there should be. Yeah. He already said he did. Yeah. You do have 13 ballots. Okay. Shall we wait for the returns, or shall we just... Let's wait. It'll take a minute. It's not like going to be a long count. And now, ladies and gentlemen... Right. We predict... a landslide for Hillary Clinton. He's going to run away with it.
The results are 8 votes for Lewis and 5 votes for Anthony.
Thank you.
In that we passed a motion that if a person wasn't here, they couldn't be elected. We were talking about the electronic media or whatever. So Lewis is not at the meeting. I don't think he can be elected to the PNB.
I'm going to rule that you're wrong, and you can challenge me, and we can go to court, or, you know, it's two more meetings or something like that. But show me the language. I'm going to start this, and we can go back. Okay.
All right.
Could you move to the side so I can move to the side? Thank you. All right. I'm going. Oh! That's how I feel.
But that's why, if we'd had TM or Frank here, I mean, and maybe just one more. But oh well.
That's how it goes.
That is pretty good.
And it was by the book. People didn't. Well, they didn't have the online access.
Okay. I'm going to give you a breathless overview and give you copies of the material and have your attention, please, everybody. I would appreciate it. This is a pain in the pain for me to do. The first thing I'm going to pass out, please, okay? The first thing I'm going to pass out is a white sheet, which is an overview of everything else I'm going to pass out. Many of you have gotten some versions of this over the web, so this will not be totally unfamiliar, and it resembles this. And I would could, Sasha could, no, you've got a bad ankle. Could you possibly do that? Pass them all out here. You can be my friend. The LSB has had over the last year, this LSB, a lot of meetings and a lot of discussions about the situation with Pacifica. And we have become very worried. I think our retreat was particularly helpful in getting us to all understand together how serious the crisis was and how fragile the situation was with Pacifica financially. And most recently, the director's insurance has not been paid. So it's true that under California law, and Pacifica is under California law, that a nonprofit that has attempted to get insurance and has failed to get it, the officers are not liable for the main money. Judgment, but they do have to hire lawyers to defend themselves, and it may be that some people will not want to take a seat on a board that has millions and millions of dollars in debt that may not be met, and risk their property if they have any, or their bank accounts if they have any. For judgment if they have to pay for lawyers, etc. But it's better than the situation in other states, but still. So that's we have come as an LSB over the past year, I think, to understand that the collapse is possible and that it could come at any time, and that we understand structurally Could I have, please? It's really... Thanks. Okay. Okay. And structurally, we understand the relationship to KPFA to the foundation. That is, that the foundation is the overarching entity, and that the foundation holds our license. We, in the current LSB, I think, have come to a shared understanding also that the structure of Pacifica is not functioning. The board is not functioning, and the governing structure is a problem because it's got people from five different places with parochial interests, and it's not set up as something that's a Pacifica structure. And we've come to understand that something needs to be done to save Pacifica and the five sister stations. And we have, I think, as a body, as an LSB, have come to a habit of becoming a very comradely, deliberative body. And some of us, as part of this, have been... Some of us who have been part of this have also taken on over the past year, 2 years actually, a cross factional set of discussions. Some of it's very structured, some of it's individual, and individual conversations wide ranging to really get our heads around what the issues are as best we can. So over that time, there have been a number of ideas that have emerged. And what I'm going to do now is share with you all of those ideas that have emerged so far. I had something else in there. Where's my crib sheet? Anyway, I don't know. Anyway, so... First off, there are three, it's okay, it's not there. There are three plans that are have to do with what the LSB might forward to the PNB. And there's several ways to approach these, and I'll give them to you in a minute, but we could have a conversation about the one that we think is best. We could have a conversation about the one we like the least, or we could see that it is unlikely that anything we decide in this room will be accepted by people from across the country themselves, and see this as a menu of ideas that we pass on to the PNB for them to deliberate, so that we wouldn't hear haggle over the details, understanding that whatever details we came up with would not be the details that a PNB would come up with. In any case, to the plans themselves. So these are the first three have to do with what we might send to Pacifica. So the first one, which, hold on a second. So the first one is the stabilization, and it has a proposal. We'll get into detail about this in a little later. First, I'm giving you a broad overview, and then we'll go back and open up each of these for discussion and questions as you wish But a broadest overview of this is that in order to get enough money to be able to hire an executive director and a CFO and get some, be up on our debts and get the audits done and get the insurance paid and so on, that we do a BAI swap, a signal swap. And what that is a change in where WBAI would be on the dial. And it is estimated, I thought I had it here, I thought it was among somewhere there was in the third paragraph on the front. Stop the bleeding?
Yeah. Membership vote.
Okay, how much it is? So 4 to 5 million is the estimate that from people who looked into it that might be achieved by that. So a signal swap to get the money available. And then the other major feature of this, besides the getting us going, paying for the things, paying things off, getting stabilized and stopping the bleeding, is that there would be a process to build common ground among all the stakeholders in all of the stations around the country and between the stations in the country to figure out where to go and how to structure Pacifica and to do that together. And the proposal, I think, has a particular idea about how to do it. There's many ideas about how to do it, some more expensive than others. And so there's that one. The second one, this is what I wanted to say. I think that particularly after this fascist has been elected, that all of us would want to save Pacifica. That the importance of a national voice that had the capacity to have develop a shared conversation and to be part of a unifying potential of building something that can challenge this monster. And I would just, for clarity, ask that everyone on the board who sees the importance of saving Pacifica as a central, serious goal to raise your hand. And to note for the record that everybody has their hand up. This is something quite serious. We see it seriously, and we are concerned about whether or not it could be accomplished. That's why 2 years of work have been going into trying to confront this. Okay. So that's the first proposal. The second proposal is very similar to the first proposal, and it also comes in two parts. I'm trying to get to green. This has a front sheet which describes it, the overview of it. Leave me one. And a second sheet which has proposed bylaws associated with it. Again, these are ideas. There's not a presumption that, we would tweak the bylaws in a way that everybody around the country would agree to, but it gives a sense of some idea of how to restructure. So there's a BAI swap, but not a common ground building, because some people think that would be a waste of time and money because things are so shattered and it's so hard to mend the wounds and the disagreements. Although that might not be true anymore because Trump may have so shifted people's understanding of the importance of the survival of Pacifica and the necessity to talk with each other in a respectful, no bullshit way is more important than old crap. Anyway, so the restructure, actually, to give you a summary of that very quickly, it would be a smaller board, a board that does not micromanage the organization, but it is an organization which is much more centralized, with the ED and the CFO having serious powers, which they do not have at this point. In other words, at this point, if nobody turns in their financial reports or their money or this or anything that's being asked to, there is very little way to deal with that except by perhaps firing somebody. And that's a big stretch. You're going to do a lot of shakeup for that, but there's no way to... So this is seeing Pacifica as a much more centralized body. The third proposal is a proposal that is written in a way that I'm going to modify since I'm the author of it. It's a proposal to save Pacifica by having KPFA assume Pacifica's debt in exchange for our license, the title, free, clear title to the land of the next door to the KPFA, because KPFA did all the money raising out of this area to purchase that land, and to save the archives. We're very concerned about the archives being lost in the situation where there's battles and troubles. What do you want? What? No. There are two. There's a. This one. Oh. You mean now it's time for that one? Okay. No, yellow. Okay. Now, one for me, please. Thank you, dear. Okay. So that we make that offer to Pacifica. And that would, I'm suggesting that what we do here is not make a firm offer, but say we would consider making that offer if the PNB were interested in that option and us making the offer. Amount of debt, well, we'll go into detail when we get to the detail. So those are the three proposals that are on the menu to talk about us, the LSB, possibly taking a position and sending to the Pacifica PNB for discussion. The next set of documents are what could the LSB do totally independent of the PNB. And those are set up a 501c3 foundation that as a safety net for as an organization to exist to catch the license, and or if, you know, we're lucky enough to save Pacifica and it still was there, it could be an organization like the Friends of the Oakland Museum that raised money that was used for then, you know, upgrading the you know, technical stuff or the computers or whatever, designated money which could be kept at KPFA, or it could just die or languish if it was not useful. The second is a plan to look into going to court for dissolution action, and the third is whether or not we might decide to go to the Attorney General as a body. And I think those things all have to do with timing, too. So I'm going to go back, and we're going to now have a discussion of the first three items. Yes, Janet?
Yeah, we need the purple.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
It's okay. Breathe, Carol. I really want her to breathe. Thank you.
Okay. My apologies. Okay, so here's the proposal for a 501c3. Bill has, and we'll send around again, and is the idea of the lawsuit, and the Attorney General thing has no piece of paper. So, okay, so what I would like to do now is ask if somebody would like to make a presentation about the stabilization common ground building. Sharon.
I just want to say, first of all, that I just want to reemphasize something that Carol said, which is that I'm just going to take this moment to say that I think what we should do is send all the plans to the PNB. I want to just say that what we are trying to do here is present ideas for discussion. In fact, none of these plans are like set in stone and you could combine among plans or come up with a new plan. So we're just trying to talk. We're trying to discuss ways where we might be able to go forward. And so I just wanted to say that as a preliminary remark. And now I just want to go through the Pacific Stabilization, Restructuring, and Recovery Plan, which is number one on, as we've been discussing it, signal swap, pay debts, and build common ground. Yes, salmon colored. Now.
Or peachy.
Peachy. As I also just want to maybe, I'm just going to take the moment to say that there are some similarities, as you will see, between plan number one and plan number two. And really the difference between them is what do you do after the signal swap. But first I'm going to go through, and with ours, I'm just going to say with the one that I support, I do support this one, we go for building common ground across the network. But I just want to go through it in detail. Okay. First of all, hire a short-term executive director with broad powers and hire a chief financial officer to whom all station business managers will report. One of the key things that we have learned from Sam Agarwal is that there was a huge, you know, financial issues, and as he expressed it to us directly, he was given the choice of violating the law by issuing bad checks, bad payroll checks, or violating the law by not paying payroll. And that put him as an individual in an impossible situation, and he chose to quit. Okay, and Lydia, the executive director interim, has actually described this as a cost-saving measure. You know, that's an odd way to save measure, is to just lose financial control over the whole enterprise, in my opinion. So once we have these people in place, the CFO will have network-wide control of the finances, and will use this control to protect the cash and assets of all stations. This means that the, you know, like, essential bills will get paid, you know, the payroll will get paid, the health benefits will get paid, and there'll be stabilization. Here's where the money, because it's always about the money. There's no money in Pacifica. There's no money. Nobody's going to give us a loan. I just want to state on the record, because a lot of people don't know this, the reason why there's no directors and officers insurance at the PNB level, there is no longer directors and officers insurance at the PNB level, and that is because of the failure to do the audits. It's not that there's no money. It's because of the failure to actually produce audits has proven to the insurance company that the PNB is not actually acting in a responsible manner. And as an insurance company, they just refuse to insure. Okay, so that's why nobody's going to give Pacifica a loan. Because if we can't even do our audits in time, there's no way we're getting a loan. So how do we get money? This is how we have approached it. As I've said, this is, you know, there's other options, okay? And we're willing, I am personally willing to hear all the options, but this is what we came up with. A signal swap for WBAI. As Carol briefly said, basically the idea is to take WBAI, which is in a commercial frequency, which is valuable, signal swap it to a non-commercial frequency. For example, KQED is at 88.5. That's a non-commercial frequency. So WBAI would switch to a non-commercial frequency in New York, would still retain its ability to send out its programming. From that, we would generate income, and it's estimated here to be 4 to 5 million. Perhaps that estimate is wrong, but I mean, you know, we've just done preliminary research. That's what we came up with. That is a key feature. We need to get some money, and we need to be able to generate it from ourselves, because nobody else is going to give it to us, and we certainly can't ask our listeners who have been supporting us for all these years to come up with 4 to 5 million. So stop the bleeding. Reduce the cost during the turnaround period by converting one or more stations temporarily into repeater stations. And again, this is just an option. Maybe we'll raise the money and we don't need to do this. But it's an option to make it a repeater station to stop the expenses at WBAI. I'm not an expert at WBAI, but I understand their, you know, transmitter is at the Empire State Building and costing a lot of money. And I read something this morning that their expenses, well, anyway, I don't want to go into that. It's expensive. Increase listenership with high quality programming. I think we all agree. You know, we need great programming. That's how we get the people. And it is a fact that WBAI has only 6,000 paid members right now, and they're in one of the largest media markets in the country. Use the money to pay off the outstanding debts, the essential debts. And then the money from the signal swap, this is what we want. This is this plan. We want to take some of the money that's from the signal swap and use it for a facilitated process to build common ground. Now, I understand some people oppose that. And, you know, I personally am not hung up on, like, we must pay to have a facilitated process. But I want everybody to really focus on these last two bullet points because I think this is key. And this is why we are seeking consensus. To my mind, this is the best way to save Pacifica. That's my opinion. Because if the consensus process is successful across the network, Pacifica moves forward as a restructured organization. So these bylaws that are in Plan 2, maybe that will be part of what comes out of the facilitated process or some new bylaws, some sort of reorganization to make the Pacifica National Board function. But here's the key point. If the consensus process is unsuccessful, it's not that we want this, but what will happen, because there's no consensus and no money, is that Pacifica will be dissolved. That is what people need to grasp, and I understand people in the audience and people that are listening are very upset about even saying those words, but we must stop putting our heads in the sand and pretending that it can't happen. It's kind of like how all the people said Trump wasn't going to be elected, and then he was. It can happen. And I'll just say my 1 year, less than 1 year of being on the board, has really gotten me to come to the real grip of the true financial situation of Pacifica, and it's not good. So I think everybody needs to really take in, if the consensus process is unsuccessful, Pacifica is dissolved, and its broadcast license and assets are transferred, and we don't know how that will happen or what will happen. So that's a brief. And then the next page is just a very detailed people have looked at this common ground, this consensus building process, and this is a very detailed plan of how it might work. Again, it's just a plan, and any type of consensus building or common ground would be acceptable, I think, to people. That's my summary.
Janet. Now, yeah, I would like to discuss something about how we're going to operate here in terms of time limits. You're going to take time limits on everybody who's speaking. Okay, number one. Number two, I think because we have a long thing to go through and because we're probably going to be here till 4 o'clock, we want to assume that by the time 4 o'clock has come around, if nothing else, we've gotten through all of this and we've gotten some sense of it. So I want to have a limit on how much we're going to talk about each of these plans individually because we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them to do it. And that is just on the substance of the individual plans, much less kind of where are we going over a bill. So I would like a sense of the body of how much time do we want to allocate for a discussion of this particular plan. 15 minutes? Is that good? Or is that too long? 10. Okay. 12. How about 12 minutes? I will put down 12 minutes and you will deal with individuals. And maybe we want to have a shorter than 3 minutes because that will be, you know, one and a half. Is that agreeable? Okay. So. Okay. Here is Janet. And then did you have a point of.
Yes, I did. I think we should go through the detail of the other two proposals, too, so we have them all in front of us before we get to discussion.
Do we want to do that, or do we want to do that? Sharon is saying yes, 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 yes. Okay. All right. So, okay.
I have a request.
Yeah.
So since I'm probably going to be the only one or one of the only ones, maybe the only one who will have a dissenting point of view about this whole process, I would like to request 2 minutes.
Sure.
I would say yes. Does everybody agree? Or we could let Janet have 3 minutes. How about that? Okay. I mean, just to be gracious. No, on the one dissenting point. No, right, for the where you really want to make your point. Otherwise, you're in the 90-minute category. Okay, so the second program, it's very similar, and this is green, and it's very similar in the, you know, to it accepts a lot of the premises of the Peachy program, and about the need to get the money and that we have to get the bleeding stopped and so on and so forth. Where it differs, the really critical place on where it differs is whether or not there is a facilitated process to, professionally facilitated process to see if we can get common ground. Now, I thought that that would be impossible. The PNB is so non-functional and so on. But I really think that the Trump election may have, hopefully, knock on wood, you know, brought people to a state of a different place where people are so afraid of what's going to happen and so therefore feeling positive about Pacifica, that maybe it would work. So in any case, again, as I said before, and as Sharon made the point, these are all ideas. We're trying to get a deliberation going on nationally, and I would be happy to see any of them, you know, take hold, and best if they would take hold that had Pacifica intact as us as a player in Pacifica rather as an affiliate, which the next one proposes. Anyway, but the bylaws here are about who could run for the board. One of the things that I think is wrong with the board is that it has people from each station, and that leaves us with parochial notions of what our responsibility is. So rather than being in favor of Pacifica, we're in favor of KPFA, or we're in favor of BAI, or we're KPFK, or, you know, it is built in a way that has competing interests when an organization is in stress. And what we need is not competing interests. We need joined interests, unified interests when we're in a period of stress. And either Pacifica, I think, has to survive as a tight, centralized organization that's helping build a national dialogue across the country that can fight fascism adequately, or it has to be a loose affiliation of stations that have local control and are taking care of themselves. The first is the best option. The second has to be considered as perhaps what will happen at best if Pacifica doesn't dissolve, and we have a responsibility to talk about what happens if Pacifica dissolves, what happens to KPFA. And that's the next proposal, which is that we feel that we, or it's a piece of the next proposal, the notion that we would make an offer to them if they're unable to agree to a signal swap to stop the bleeding, to move the situation, that we would say, we'll try and save you. We will rid you of your debt, which will free you to act, you know, with some freedom at this moment, and you know, and free us also, not totally free, because we would remain an affiliate of Pacifica because of our history and our allegiance to the mission of Pacifica. And so this has some ideas to, again, I think it would be written not necessarily in the way that it is, but as are considering to make this offer as a possible way to save Pacifica. So that's the three positions. So now we can open the floor. Yeah, you've got to have a microphone.
So I should have mentioned this earlier. I have to leave at 2:30, and so I'm hoping there's someone else here, maybe Sharon, who will take over timing speakers.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right. Did you want to make up your 3 minutes at this point? Okay, go ahead.
Okay, being a Pacifica Foundation officer, the PNB secretary, and PNB director, I am bound by the bylaws and the law to preserve the Pacifica Foundation. I also have an obligation to let the LSBs know that LSBs are not autonomous entities and remind them of their duties. Article 7, Section 3 of the bylaws states that, quote, each LSB acting as a standing committee of the foundation's board of directors shall have the following powers, duties, and responsibilities related to its specific radio station under the direction and supervision of the foundation's board of directors. And then it spells out the specific powers and duties of the LSBs. You might note that Article 7, Section 4 of the bylaws states the following, quote, by resolution, the Foundation's Board of Directors may delegate any other corporate powers it deems appropriate to an LSB with regard to that specific radio station, end quote. That section further states the following, quote, any and all actions, resolutions, and policies taken or adopted by an LSB may be overridden by a majority vote of the directors if said action, resolution, or policy is found by the board of directors to be adverse to the mission and or charitable or business purposes of the foundation, to exceed the power or authority granted to said LSB, or to be inconsistent with these bylaws, the articles or applicable laws and regulations, end quote. Accordingly, the crisis group, which is not a part of the Pacifica structure, but instead it's a set of self-selected individuals, can create a 501c3 nonprofit as individuals or as that group. However, the LSB cannot create a 501c3 nonprofit in its station's name, since the PNB has not authorized an LSB to do so. Also, remember that when each of us ran and then were elected to the LSB or replaced someone who was, we had pledged to abide by existing Pacifica policies and its bylaws. So until any of that changes, we are bound by our pledge. And I'll end there.
So I don't think that, unless somebody wants to make that as a discussion, I would rather that we stay on this. Is there agreement on that what we're going to discuss about now is really these, not that? Okay. All right. Let's make a list. And could I have a piece of paper? Oh, here, I've got one. Never mind. So, okay, babe. Okay. Thanks. Okay, I have Sasha, Bill. Wait a minute. I'm making. Who else is on the list? Barbara. Okay. You have the mic. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I was going to say that if anybody, there are two people who had to leave, if they wanted to be at the top of the list, if they wanted to speak, please put them before me. Margie, do you want to speak since Joy left? I tried
and
to
I
stop
know
her.
Yuri's got to leave too because he teaches a class. Yeah. Timer. Okay, wait a minute. I can. Hold on.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
I'm not going to talk a minute.
Stop, reset. Tell me when to go.
Okay. So I just want to say that I think, you know, the crisis in Pacifica is so profound and the moment is so challenging for us that I'm on the PNB, and I know how difficult it is for the PNB to deal with difficult issues. So I fully support the idea of forwarding all of these proposals to the PMB and encouraging, as best we can, a discussion there. I do not have enormous confidence that it will be that we will be successful in getting movement. You know, these are three ideas that came out of lots of conversation. I'm sure there are many other ideas out there, and I hope that if people have ideas about what to do, that they will bring them forward, share them with us. I am saying this to listeners, to members, to anybody who has an idea about how to protect this incredibly precious resource. That's all I want to say.
Let me ask a question procedurally. How many of you on the LSB feel that we should forward all three? How many of you feel we shouldn't? Okay. So the majority here, now we can still have some conversation, but I mean, what I think we see here is that it doesn't necessarily have to be a long conversation on this thing, because we still have this whole conversation to have yet, too. But anyway, Sasha was next, then Bill, then Barbara, then Craig, so and Tim. So, Sasha.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind them all. I voted against, you know, I raised my hand against it. I don't mind that all three are forwarded. I think that as an LSB, we have to come with our own plan for what we will do. And forwarding all three cannot preclude that. And the reason for that is that there's a serious issue for me about time and money for doing anything. For instance, a lot of this calls for a membership vote. There is no money for a membership vote. There is no time for us to have the PNB mediate and come together and so forth before Pacifica goes under. I have nothing against bringing people together or making any attempt to do that. I'm really seriously concerned about the time and the money, and I just don't see it there myself. We need to change the governance structure, because until that's done, you know, nothing much gets accomplished. I mean, that's a part of the problem as well. We have this convoluted governance procedure that just doesn't allow things to be happen in a timely fashion. And then, you know, if no audits equal no insurance, I want to tell you as a member of the audit committee that we are now in fiscal year 2017. 2014 audit is not yet totally completed, almost there, and 2015 hasn't been started, and God knows if the auditor is willing to do it, because we still owe him a payment for 2014. And we've got a request into stations. Let me just finish the sentence. We've got a request into stations in terms of how ready their books are and Pacifica's books are to even start a 2015 audit if we but had the money to pay the auditor.
Okay. Bill.
Looking at the salmon-colored plan, so, you know, it focuses on a WBAI signal swap to raise money. I would prefer it be more generic, meaning an asset sale. There could be other ideas for an asset sale other than a swap at WBAI, and that might raise the cash. And The other thing I think this should say, if it is a WBAI signal swap, there should be something that says in here that part of that would result in a resolution of the Empire State Building lease, that debt would be erased, would be negotiated out, so that any money raised from a WBAI signal swap, some of it would be used to solve that problem for WBAI, so that they see that they're getting something.
30 seconds.
Okay, then it's too short. The consensus could be, Sharon, we could arrive at a consensus that local stations governed locally are more effective organizations and could be better radio stations, and that it's better to have good local radio stations than to try to run a national network when you don't have the resources or the organizational skills or the structure to run a national network. It's very difficult to run a national network when you try to have board meetings by telephone, just for example.
Time. Okay. All right. So, by the way, did we say 90 seconds or 2 minutes?
It should be 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Okay. Okay, so it should be 2 minutes.
So I can
sorry.
More seconds.
And so does Sasha.
Okay. But good.
30 more
seconds. Thank you, Sasha.
20
for
more
your 30
seconds.
Seconds.
20 more seconds.
The point of the green program, as a clarification, is we need a better balance between the national interest of Pacifica and the local interest of the stations. Right now, the structure is totally parochial. The idea of the reorganization is to give the national structure and the national interest more say in how the Pacifica runs. It's right now it's unbalanced and it doesn't work. And I could explain that more, but later.
Okay, Barbara.
I'm interested in this yellow sheet.
You got to hold it. Come on, you're losing
time. Bill. I want to ask a question about the yellow sheet. I'm not quite sure if KPFA were to take on all of Pacifica's debt. How does that raise money? I don't think there's a element in this yellow sheet like there is in the others that says we would raise money in order to do these things.
Okay, since we're not doing Robert's result, I'll stop
yes,
your time.
If you're thinking.
I'll stop your time and just tell you that, answer that quickly. What this proposes is that we would take on the debt there's
but
a question about the
but
Amy.
But we get our license.
There's a question about Amy's debt, and because it would
it's
keep
so
her
huge.
In line in case there was a collapse, and she's not, you know, at anybody's throat about getting this at this moment in time. But it says that we get a clear free title to the land on the corner. So that we could sell that, and we've looked into that, and maybe it's two million, maybe. The Pacifica debt, as we understand it, is 4 to 6 million. So without Amy's, it's probably four, it's either, three or four. I don't know. Something. Anyway. So it would give us some land that we could sell, and it also, as we saw in the treasurer's report, there is a drop-off of major donors. I know personally people who would give a lot of money to Pacifica if they to KPFA or Pacifica if they thought it was a stable functioning organization, and that right now they feel like they're throwing money down something which may collapse. And half a million in central services dropped off, and we just had a big fundraiser, so we could get the money together. And it would free Pacifica of that debt load, which we would hope would help them operate. Go ahead.
Well, I understand now the thing that's not stated directly on this yellow sheet where you're thinking money would come in is after you get the title of this property, selling it. That's not stated here.
It says, if it is understood that if and with 7 years of the transfer, there is a sale or distribution of Pacifica's remaining assets. And that, you know, it talks about sales
remaining
from
assets.
Them and also for sales of us.
That's all right. Okay. I understand now.
Got it. Okay. Next was Craig.
Okay. So my thought about the salmon plan is this. If you give an addict $1,000 and say, here, go get clean, what do you think is going to happen? And that's the problem with the salmon plan. I certainly appreciate the sentiment behind it. And a swap of BAI, you know, may raise $4 million or maybe less. I don't know what the environment is like these days, but it doesn't change the underlying problem. And as Sharon emphasized, if this consensus building is successful, that's our way out. I think that's a huge if, and I actually think that's an if that's doomed to failure. I think the recent years show that, you know, we are stuck in a morass and can't climb out. So I have no sort of problem with the principle of the salmon plan, but I think in practice it's going to be doomed to failure, and it'll buy us a little time, but it won't solve any of the structural problems that are dragging us down right now. I'm actually really in favor of the yellow plan, which is, you know, let's save KPFA. At the same time, you know, we will free up the rest of the network to fix their own problems, but we'll do it in a way that doesn't wind up dragging KPFA down with the rest of the network. I think we're in a really precarious situation, and if the rest of the network goes, KPFA is terribly at risk of going with it. So I think it's time to kind of make that leap, and let's put some distance between us and them and say, you guys make the best of it, and we'll make the best of it. And, you know, and there you go.
Kim.
First, I just want to say thank you to the Crisis Committee for putting in such amazing amounts of work. And no, I'm just not talking loud enough. Thank you to the Crisis Committee for going cross-factional and understanding the seriousness of the problem that we have here. I just had just comment on Bill's idea that the asset sale be wider than WBAI. I think the only other major assets within the network are KPFA's buildings, and I think that's too you don't want to sell the only successful asset that you have within the network. So I think that opening up that idea is a very dangerous one for this station. I love the idea of trying to save Pacifica as a network. I think we all feel that way. I wonder if we have enough time to do it. I share Craig's concern that we may not be able to do it at all, but even if we could do it, do we have enough time to do it before bankruptcy proceedings? And if the answer to that is no, then we have to consider yellow or worse, you know, in terms of ensuring KPFA's thing, because I don't have a lot of confidence either that the network itself, I don't think the network would be in this position at all if the network was open to this kind of consensus building on solving things. I do think that WBAI is sort of analogous to Somalia or something. It's a failed state, and we should recognize it as such. And so that's why I think that that's why the signal swap should be focused there. I also have seen a lot of comments online about people who want to look at this crisis and say, well, in 1999 or well, in 2006 or well, in 2012, we have a drowning network here. Anybody who wants to stand on the shore and critique it is fine. Let them be. But keep them out of the conversation of the rest of us who are diving into the water to save this thing.
I have a list, but everybody who's on the list that I have has spoken on this, but Sharon has not yet. So Sharon, and I don't know if Anthony, you want to speak, or anybody else who has not spoken wants to get on a list. Sharon.
I'm not disagreeing with what you said, Tim. I just want to say that I don't believe bankruptcy is the proper word, because I, from what I understand is that Pacifica, as a nonprofit corporation, cannot be forced into bankruptcy. It must choose it. So that's why in the plans we've used the word dissolution. So I just for clarity's sake, because some people will be like, it can't be bankruptcy. So that was my point.
Okay. Yes. Wait a minute. Okay. Go ahead.
Yes. You have to talk into a mic if you're going to come on far. Pass the mic. Thank you. I think it has to go
Just a point of information. There's a specific statute, the California Corporation Statute 6510, that is about dissolving a nonprofit corporation and the basis on which that's done. So it's not in lieu of a bankruptcy action or petition. It's just a separate statute.
Right. Okay. So, Barbara.
And if you pass that back, do it over
top. Yeah. Okay, here's two brief things. One is, I don't want to go into a long explanation about it, but the sale of the property that people are talking about has some problems. It was not a cut and dry thing. We could make money. The other thing is, when you're talking about dissolution of a nonprofit, there is something in the law that says whoever dissolves it cannot benefit at all. And that would mean can't, in my mind, be involved in whatever the properties that you give away is, wherever it's given. In other words, if you give part of Pacifica away to some other part, the people involved in the giving away can't have anything to do with the part where it's being given to. Isn't this true? You don't? Because dissolving a nonprofit, you have to give away your assets to a like body.
Right. Well,
and
now
no
you're
person
getting into,
can intervene.
You're getting into the 501c3.
That these, okay, that's you're good. It may be covered in there.
Yes, this is in the second part.
That's
here.
Fine. I just want to say that it hadn't been mentioned,
okay,
and it's a big
it
deal.
Okay, pass it back to Bill. And over through there, yeah, good. Okay, Bill.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to go back to talking about the issue of organizational structure of Pacifica, because I think this is the fundamental problem with Pacifica as a national organization. You know, KPFK just got a $200,000 judgment against it. The national organization had absolutely nothing to do, as far as I understand it, with how that came about. That was based on local decision making, local and whatever those decisions were related to an employment issue. So suddenly, a $200,000 debt that everybody thinks is KPFK's debt is not KPFA's debt. It is Pacifica's debt. It's our debt. Yet we had no say or no control over the decisions and the circumstances that led to that debt. That tells me that organizationally there's a real problem with Pacifica. You cannot have an organization who has no control over various circumstances then causing that organization to somehow become embroiled in some very expensive debt that was incurred by some entity that's part of the organization. You can't run an organization like that. So either we have to cede local control to a stronger national structure, which has involvement in the actual daily affairs of the station, or else we need to split up. But up until now, we've had this loose amalgamation of five stations who were successful for a long time because we're the only game in town. But things have changed, and the organizational structure of Pacifica has to change with it, or it has to dissolve.
Sasha.
I agree with everything that Bill said, and I have to say I would like us to do whatever we do that gives Pacifica its best chance of surviving in terms of financial, you know, however this shakes up. That having been said, I look at it this, if we were independent, we'd have 500 you know, $500,000, $500K probably from savings from Central Services. Major donors would come back to us. We could possibly sell property next door, whatever that would bring in. It would bring in, even if it was $1 million, if it was $750,000, it would be money that would come in. And with that, we could actually really beef up our news and our public affairs programming. We could have designated public affairs on regional issues that deal with local things. We could have things that deal on national issues. We could feed that programming free of charge to, you know, the Pacifica stations and all the affiliates. We could help help beef up the programming, getting the word out, which I think is just absolutely vital always, and especially so with 4 years of Trump probably in our future. I say probably in the 4 years. So I just want to throw that out. I also really would like our GM to be a part of some of these discussions, because some of the things, like I'm talking about programming, I want to hear what the GM has to say about that. And the final thing is that we might consider having a town hall meeting to discuss this with some of the members as well and see what the feedback is. And that having been said, I would like it to be a town hall meeting that is representative of all viewpoints, not one that focuses on marketing to what used to be an extremely factionalized board here and just a certain group of people. I think I want real feedback
time
from our real listeners and not those that are already involved and we know what they have to say. I want to hear from people we've never heard from before.
Sharon.
I just want to say, Bill, because I know there will be corrections being made, that what happened at KPFK were actually the actions that led to the decision, the judgment of 200,000 or whatever it is. Those actions were taken by the interim executive director. So not actually by KPFK. So I know that criticism would have been, that correction would have been made, and I just want to make it on the record. But I want to reemphasize the point that you made, which is that the point is that the debt is from something that happened at KPFK, whoever made the decision, however it came down. It happened at KPFK. It's at least $200,000 judgment against KPFK, and yet we are all liable for it. That is absolutely correct. We here, all of Pacifica, is liable for that. And yet we had no input into it. I think that was the main point you were trying to make. Now, I just want to say that perhaps we should actually bring in the other three proposals, because they're sort of being hinted at, and I think maybe we need to do that. And then with my remaining time, I just want to say I agree with the town hall concept. I really think that's a great idea. I know the CAB has actually been suggesting doing that, because they have actually successfully, you're shaking your head no, but the CAB had a very successful meeting that Margie Wilkinson was at, and she can tell you it was not factional and it was actually quite well done. And I actually congratulate the CAB for doing that, and Carol Wolfley, who's here from the CAB, for doing that. So
30 seconds.
So I just want to say I agree with the concept of a town hall. I think we do need to educate the membership, because people are upset. People don't want Pacifica to be dissolved, and that's why they're saying no. But they haven't quite grasped the reality of the financial situation and what's really happening. So I agree with town hall.
5 seconds for that town hall. Let it happen after the December fund drive. I don't want word spread about this. I don't want to do anything that will harm the fund drive in December.
The word's already out, dear. I mean, it's public. Anyway. Okay. Since we're not doing Robert's Rules of Order, and since I no longer have a list, I want to suggest some ways to proceed and get an agreement or a sense of the body on my idea. I would like to, again, right now, take a vote on forwarding these three to the PNB, and then separate out this discussion about ideas for the LSB to do independent of that. Is that okay? It's a vote. Let's take a vote. Okay. Well, let's make a motion. Yes. Sharon.
I move to forward the three proposals to the PNB.
Second. Moved and seconded. I think we've had discussion. Janet can have a discussion. Go ahead, Janet.
No, I just wanted to say I think I would like to have a roll call vote on any of these votes.
Okie dokie. That's so we can be sued. okay, so on Sharon's motion, roll call.
Okay. No, she's not here, so yeah, if she's not here, she's not voting. Okay, Adams?
I vote yes.
Adams, yes. Alderson, yes. Campisi?
Yes.
Campisi, yes. Fest? Fest, no. Fuentes, not here. Futrin?
Abstain.
Futrin, abstain. Gottesman, not here. Goen, not here. Hernandez, not here. Jacobs? Jacobs, yes. Coburn?
Present, not voting.
Coburn, not voting. You're abstaining?
No, I'm present, not voting. Yeah.
That's an abstention. Lynch, not here. Tim Lynch?
Yes.
Tim Lynch, yes. Moore, not here. Morgan, not here. Olson, not here. Sawyer, not here. Scruggs, not here. Sterling, not here. Tao Nichols, not here. Travis?
Yes.
Travis, yes. Whipperman?
Yes.
Whipperman, yes. White?
Yes.
White, yes. Wilkinson, not here. And that's it. And Withers not here. So so that's 8 yes, 1 no.
And 1 not.
Okay, 1, well, 1 abstention and 1 present not voting, which is crazy. But.
All right. So now let's get to this second section and see how well we can get through this. Sharon. Go ahead. It's okay.
How exactly will this be passed on procedurally?
I think that the secretary will send it, and this has to be changed so it's not an actual offer but a discussion thing, and it will be passed on as the majority of those present at the board voted with the both the the numbers to pass this on for discussion at the PNB because of our concern.
Can I just make a suggestion or
sure.
get feedback
sure.
from Craig if you could do that possibly within a week or 2 weeks, or what's your time frame on that?
As soon as the revisions are made, I'll send them on.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. Is there any reason we don't have our PNB rep, Marky, to deliver that?
Pardon?
We could have her do it. Let's do it both ways.
Yeah, I think
okay.
officially the secretary.
Okay. I think officially from our secretary it goes. Do you want to speak?
Yes. I mean, I didn't mention this when I spoke before, but I sort of have an issue with this anything over 750K being divided five ways.
Well, can we talk about that later? I'm happy to take it out. It doesn't really matter.
Well, I mean,
it's already been voted on.
That's what I mean. I mean, the body would have to agree that might be changed just simply because I think it's – I'd like to raise that to a higher limit, actually. But
okay. None of this is going to be accepted in the form that it gets to, and this is not even an offer.
Or maybe
because we're saying that we would that if they're interested, we would have an offer, and that's the kind of the outline in general of what we would be talking about. So it's not in stone. Okay. So now I draw your attention to the. Lavender paper, and I also would say that I think that it is absolutely accurate that nobody who is, and I'm not sure this is accurate, so I take back the absolutely. I think that it is a good idea that a structure and some of the first officers are not necessarily officers of this organization. That any case, it's a proposal to set up a 501c3 as a safety net because, as Barbara pointed out, and I think there may be something in this, when nonprofit is dissolved, that the habit is to either totally dissolve it or to pass some of the assets to an organization, a nonprofit that has a similar mission. And so we would talk about this having an identical mission have something in place. But anyway, so there's that. And Bill, do you want to do the presentation on the second two? Take the mic and take it away. Yeah.
Well, I was trying to figure out what to do if there was no movement by the PNB. And a lot of people feel that there has to be some movement. I mean, some people may say, why can't we just go on like we have been going on? And I think the answer is the way we've been going on is a downward trajectory. You know, it's just, it's not, the Pacific is not functioning well, and it's having grave financial difficulty. So something has to change. But if people are unable to agree to do that voluntarily, there's a way to force the issue. And the way to force the issue is to file a dissolution action under California Corporations Code 6510. One-third of the membership can do that, and one-third of the membership could nominate someone to act in their behalf. So, for example, one-third of the membership, which KPFA has about, could nominate this board to act on its behalf, and this board, probably through the chairperson, whoever that is, could file a lawsuit as a plaintiff, at which time the attorney general has to be named a party to the lawsuit and has to be served. So the attorney general would come in. The attorney general is also authorized under 6510 to file an action for dissolution in the Superior Court. The reason to file the action is not to dissolve Pacifica. The reason to file the action is to force the parties to meet and confer and try to resolve the issues surrounding Pacifica. Courts will always work with parties who say they want to mediate their differences, they want to solve their problems. So the idea would be to get in front of a judge and say, Judge, we would like to set up a mediation plan. That in itself is going to be difficult to do. It'll probably take anywhere from 4 to 6 months to figure out a mediation plan. Can we have that much time? Yes, you can. As part of that, there might be some issues around selling assets and things like that that we would discuss amongst ourselves, amongst the parties. And we may have to go to the court to have further discussion about that. And maybe the court could help us resolve those issues too. Once we get a mediation plan together, then we present that to the court for the court's approval. We'd have a timetable, no doubt, and then we'd have to implement that plan. And so the point is that it would, and the Attorney General would be involved and would be looking over our shoulder. Undoubtedly, the Attorney General would want to see what we're trying to do and how we're trying to do it, and we'd have to explain that to they have a division for nonprofit corporations. And we'd have to explain what we're trying to do and why we're trying to do it, et cetera. But as long as the parties themselves are working towards a resolution of the issues that confront the nonprofit, I'm sure the Attorney General and the court will give us time to do that. So the point of going to court again is that we put in motion a process with a timetable so that we can try to figure out what to do. And if we can't figure out what to do, then we would proceed with dissolution.
Can you say something about timing that you would, you know, that you would want some these things, well, you know, us to act on these things?
Well, okay. So let's say, for example, we get to January of this year, and because there's no director's insurance, we can't seat a quorum of directors on the PNB. If we couldn't seat a quorum of directors on the PNB, Pacifica is functionally over as an organization. You have to have your directors be able to meet. That would be a time to file the lawsuit. On the other hand, in terms of timing,
let's say because of Trump, we suddenly get a whole bunch of money. So that eases some of the financial, fears of financial collapse. And so people say, oh, well, then maybe we don't have to do anything. But you have to look at the history of Pacifica over the last 16 years and its downward trajectory. We really do have to do something. We have to solve the structural organizational problems of Pacifica. So maybe this lawsuit isn't done right away. We give our best shot with the salmon plan and the green plan and the yellow plan. Everybody tries to work that out. We try to talk to each other, and if it can be worked out, great. But if it can't be worked out, then sometime down the road, when it seems appropriate to this board, for example, we would bring the action. The other alternative to a direct action like that would be to go to the Attorney General without filing an action and approach the Attorney General with the issues that we're confronted with. I mean, the Attorney General, we're supposed to file, legally obligated to file these audits. They've not been filed. So we actually are jeopardizing our status with the Attorney General and our right to operate because we haven't filed the audits. And so I like better the idea of preparing a complaint and actually bringing it to the Attorney General before it's filed and saying, we're thinking about doing this and bringing you into a lawsuit and explain to them what we're trying to do and see if they say, okay, we're in agreement with that. Go ahead and file your lawsuit, and we'll back you up. The Attorney General can become a party plaintiff. Let's say the other side said, well, you don't have standing because you don't have one-third of the membership. Well, if the Attorney General came in on the plaintiff side, that wouldn't matter. So, I mean, these are just ideas about what to do if the people in the organization, the stakeholders, can't agree on them amongst themselves what to do, and there's no judge kind of shoving them along and saying, you know, you have to do this by this date. You have to do this by that date. Now, I've been involved in a lot of lawsuits. I don't do corporate law, but I do complex medical malpractice litigation. Frequently, the cases I do take 2 to 3 years to settle. I just had a case that went almost 5 years. So it wouldn't be uncommon that once this lawsuit was filed, that it might take 2 or 3 years to come out the other side. That wouldn't be unusual. And we might need that much time in which to sort through this. And actually, we wouldn't have to be going to the court a lot. The idea would be that it would force us to talk to each other in a structured way and set up a plan to do it. Okay.
Let me just observe something and see how you guys feel about this. I think that what you're talking about is not something that is required for today for the LSB to do anything about. What you're doing is indicating some thoughts for the LSB to think about. Is that correct? Does everybody think that's true? I'm trying to get a procedural point here. Are you going to talk on procedure, Anthony?
Not procedure. I had that just inspired a question of how that process works in the court.
Okay. Well, I think I'm trying to do something procedurally. So it's my understanding that these two things are not an immediate
they're on a sequence.
We would. Right. That's what we've already taken a position on. And actually, I want to point out to people that we've taken it as a position of delegates. And I think that we want to go back to being the LSB. I would like to just do that right now and reaffirm this as the LSB. So the delegates meeting is adjourned, and the recess of the KPFA board is reopened. And what I would like to do is have just are people going to vote the same way as they did as delegates on the issue of sending this ahead? Can we?
Yes, we are.
Okay. All right. So that is now in the record. And so this is a live issue, in my opinion, about whether or not we're going to do a 501c3.
Spell it out. The listeners won't know what this is.
The 501c3. Okay. All right. So so I'm saying that because we're not in an urgent thing about this, and we want to conclude the business on the big stuff, and that is not on the table, the dissolution thing. If we can deal with this, then we still have time. We'll have the questions on those things that are going to be ongoing for us.
Well, while this is fresh in our minds,
okay,
I'd like to pose a question. It shouldn't take long.
Okay.
For go Bill, ahead. If indeed this dissolution process, not intended to force a dissolution, but if it goes on for years, who is in the room on behalf of which party? Especially given that you know, the way this organization has run, there are elections and new directors come in and new LSBs come in. So if the process is going on for years, who and oftentimes ED or CFO position being vacant. How do the negotiations continue, and who does the negotiating?
Bill, I would like to say that that's something that should be thought about and be part of an ongoing conversation with the next board meeting and also with the next board, presuming that we don't have a collapse between now and then. I mean, do you want to say something about wanting anything if there is a collapse, for example, if no board can be seated?
Well,
you have to use a microphone.
Well, I think I did. I mean, and just briefly, it's a good question, Andrew and
Anthony.
And my answer to that would be, you know, the court sets up certain kinds of rules and findings and orders that apply to people whether they come in later or before. I mean, you know, once the court says you're going to do this, then you're going to do it. But obviously, at any point where Pacifica is in danger of collapse, this becomes one of the chief options that anyone has to deal with that situation. The other corollary or the other lawsuit that can happen here is to file for a reorganization under a Chapter 11 in the bankruptcy court. That has to be voluntary. And the problem with that is it takes an enormous amount of knowledge, an enormous amount of work, and you have to file all of these schedules. The day that you want to file a Chapter 11, you have schedule after schedule after schedule that have to be put together by knowledgeable financial people in the organization and people knowledgeable with bankruptcy filings. And it's an extraordinarily complex and expensive thing to do, whereas this action is not. It would not be nearly the same level of effort or expense. And actually, I could do this, or Sharon could do this, you know, the action under, with some help. We'd have to get a consultant. So, but any time it looked like Pacifica was going to fail, then this would be the place to go, either that or go directly to the Attorney General.
Sharon and Tim.
Okay. I just want to say, you know, here's the thing about the plans. Like, I hear what you're saying, Bill, and I get that this is like the last gap measure or whatever.
Last resort.
I just want to point out that nobody knows how long Pacifica has. We don't know. And maybe everybody's right that more money will be coming in and it will solve things. And, you know, we can't really get the true financial picture of Pacifica. I just want to acknowledge that, okay? None of us know what the future holds. But one thing that has come clear to me, at least, maybe other people don't agree, is that the Pacifica at the national level must restructure. It is just completely non-functional, as anyone who has ever listened to a PNB meeting can just say. I mean, and taking an hour to set the agenda is ridiculous. You know, so I think maybe what we should talk about is, I mean, I just want to say some of the ideas for restructuring Pacifica at the national level, because we kind of have talked around that here, are to have a smaller board.
have a specifically smaller board because it's much easier to make decisions with fewer people. You don't have the same people with the same opinion just repeating it. I know it's in the green paper. I'm just kind of going over some of the things. Direct supervision by the national board of the executive director and the CFO with the right to hire and fire, and the CFO having, you know, oversight over the finances. So, but I want to emphasize that programming would still remain at the local level. And the last thing I want to say is something that somebody has said. I'm not taking credit for this, but sometimes maybe the way to think about the Pacifica network is that we need to de-link financially because there's just so many issues at the financial level, but stay together as a broadcast network. Stay together on the programming level, but de-link financially. We are just trying to put forward ideas, you know, ways to go forward with the completely dysfunctional PNB that we currently have. So that's what I just want to remind people of.
Tim.
Well, actually, I'm not sure if this question needs to be answered right now or if it's for future discussion. But, Bill, you mentioned Chapter 11 versus this court-initiated mediation.
Dissolution.
Does one of them give more control to the situation? Like, once you enter the courts, you lose a certain amount of control over the situation. Does one or the other give us more control over what happens in the courtroom?
I think 6510 gives us more control. Here. Just in real briefly here. The reason is that in bankruptcy court, which is a federal court, they appoint a trustee, and the trustee is God in a bankruptcy action. And we would have, I think, much more control over the situation in with an action under 6510. Also, it's local. It's the Superior Court. And then just one thing about what Barbara was saying, and this goes to the 501c3 organization. If you're in a dissolution action, so then the Attorney General is saying, okay, you guys can't figure this out, so we're going to go ahead and dissolve you because you can't figure it out. So now the Attorney General is looking to what's he going to do with the assets? What is he going to do with the license? What's he going to do with the buildings? What's he going to do with whatever? So if we have a safety net organization, we can say, look, the first original station was KPFA. Give us back our license. We want it back. We can run our station. And we'll give them the financials to show that we can run our station. You know, if you make whatever decisions you're going to make about the other four stations, but we have a foundation that can accept the license. We have the staff, blah, 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 blah. We want to remain a viable radio station locally in this area, and we can make that argument. If we don't have an entity to take the license, then we're in worse shape.
That's all right. So I am now going to do what I said before and then, you know, agreed that we should make time for people to follow up on these things that are not immediate and go to the thing that it's a nice segue, what Bill said about the importance of having a safety net organization. And I would like to have a straw vote on those of you who think that we should figure out how to go about setting up a 501c3. Could you raise your hands? None of you think of that after you've just said of the importance? Okay. All right. What I'm talking about is that unless there's an organization that's a 501c3 that exists with a mission that is similar, or I would say identical, to Pacifica's mission, then we cannot receive the license. We do not exist. No one exists. There is not an existing organization. The Friends of the Oakland Museum actually set up a 501c3 when the Oakland Museum was in a state of collapse and began becoming over time as things collapsed by the way the museum was operating, became the governing structure essentially of the Oakland Museum. And this is what I'm, there has to be a structure to receive the license. And Bill.
So now we get back to the old bugaboo here. And the old bugaboo is there is a structure. But people don't want, but you know, UCR doesn't want to use that structure and they're angry about it. There exists a KPFA foundation, correct?
It's an there's a shell name.
I know, but there's a shell organization that's been set up that has no officers and no bylaws. So we you know, the LSB could say, okay, we're going to move that organization without having to set up another one through the Secretary of State. We could say, oh, we're going to appoint officers to that organization. They could be see Sharon over there saying that'll never work. But you know, they could be from UCR. It doesn't matter, and it doesn't matter to me. They could be anybody. You know, and we can set up a set of bylaws. Now we can dump that organization. We can kill it and set up another one. But that's what Carol's talking about.
That's what you're talking about.
You're setting up an organization that would be in place to take the license if Pacifica were to collapse, and we could make an argument for it.
So two questions. One, is the LSB, since we are a subset of the PNB, in any legal or contradictory position in taking a position on such a 501c3 as a LSB? It sounds like we possibly could be. And the other question is this something then that should be passed on to the crisis group, which is not a part of the LSB directly, to discuss and just leave it at the discussion level at this time?
It's not clear. I mean, I would say I don't know the answer to that question. Do you know the absolute answer?
I don't.
Okay, then let me finish.
Yeah.
Okay. And here, let me time myself. So I think, though, that I would like a straw vote of this group about its feeling about whether or not this should be explored, and that we see how far we get with it. And there are a lot of people who are against this because they think it undermines the focus on saving Pacifica. To have such a thing, a safety net in place. And there are people who, like myself, who feels like we got to do this, that it's just totally irresponsible to not do this, and to have it as a safety net and also possibly as something that is able to raise money in the meantime. That's clear KPFA money. But it has to be explored. I would like a vote from this body that they would like an exploration for these answers. And that's what I'd like. Okay. So, all right. Let's discuss it. Bert.
Why don't you make a motion?
Okay. All right. I make a motion that the KPFA, LSB, endorse an exploration of the legalities, the potentials, the process, the choices, and begin to do something, and that we have some people here who volunteer to be on a little subcommittee to work on this. Not an alternate, a 501c3 of Friends of KPFA Foundation or whatever it is, a potential safety net, etc. Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
Okay. On discussion, Burton.
I first came connected with KPFA in 1960 when it had essentially shaped the culture of the Bay Area. I speak probably for the last time on this board because I'm at the end of my term. Number one, I do not expect anything from the PNB based upon their past inability to do anything. None of these ideas are things that would be my first choice. The only thing worse is doing nothing and hoping that a miracle will happen. And for that reason, I am in favor of this motion.
Well, I'm in favor of it because I think that KPFA has to take a leadership role. In my view, KPFA is at this moment, it wasn't always, let's say, but at this moment is the most effective and most successful operating station in the network. And I think we need to take on responsibility of trying to fix things and take on the responsibility of saving this station if the network cannot be saved. We have to save this station if the network cannot be saved. It would be a disaster if we lost KPFA for this part of Northern California and for the progressive movement, the radical movement. So we always have to keep that in mind. We cannot allow this station to end. And so this is just a last resort also if we can't save Pacifica.
So I guess I have a question about whether this needs to be done separate from the board. It seems there are some legal entanglements here about a board that sets up an organization, competing organization, or, there are questions of organizational loyalty or something like that. I don't know. I mean, it seems like if this board were to do it, there would be some legal liabilities, and that therefore it's something that needs to be done by community members rather than this board officially or members of this board. I don't know. Maybe that's something to look into in this exploration. Okay. So let's make that part of the exploration, but I endorse the idea of doing something.
Anybody else want to speak on this? Barbara.
I think it is a good idea to have an alternate 501c3 available if necessary. And I would even go so far as if when we get into discussions about it, renaming it because this first pass offended people so much. But I like the idea of having two people's names on it. I remember that Elsa Knight Thompson was in disagreement with the way the structure was being built at the time. I believe she was. And yes, and I just think it would be very symbolic to have it called the Thompson Hill Foundation as a gesture towards this melting of breaking down of barriers and people talking over disagreement lines that have existed. I think I like that idea symbolically.
Okay, so can we have a vote on the motion? A roll call, please. The motion is that the KPFA LSB sets aside a subcommittee to explore the potentials and the legal ramifications and the possibilities of setting up or establishing a living 501c3. Yes, a task force. Thank you.
Okay, I am glad I made extra forms for these roll call votes. Everybody wants a roll call vote. Okay. Okay, off we go. Adams?
Abstain.
Adams abstains. Alderson, I'll vote yes. Campisi? Yes. Campisi, yes. Fest? Fest, no. Fuentes, not here. Futrin? Futrin, yes. Gottesman, not here. Goen, not here. Hernandez, not here. Jacobs? Jacobs, yes. Coburn?
Present, not voting.
Okay. I don't know what that is. It's an abstention, really. It's a made-up category. It's a made-up category. Lynch, Tim Lynch.
Pass for a moment.
Tim Lynch passes. Moore, not here. Morgan, not here. Olson, not here. Sawyer, not here. Scruggs, not here. Sterling, not here. Tao Nichols, not here. Travis.
Yes.
Travis, yes. Whipperman. Whipperman, yes. White.
Yes.
White, yes. Wilkinson, not here. And Rich, not here. Withers, not here. Tim?
Yes.
Tim Lynch, yes. So that's 8 yes, 1 no, one abstention, and 1 in a made-up category.
No. Okay. No, you do have to report it that way. Okay, so... oh, my God. We're about to have to, the recording person is going to have to leave very shortly. So I would like to have one more motion and then maybe adjourn. I'd like to make a motion that we set up a task force that people volunteer for. By the way, people can be in touch with me if they want to volunteer for the 501c3 exploration. But for a town hall meeting, because we have to begin the work to really get this out and explain to people so people get what we're talking about and that it's not just a function of, what people are saying on the internet rather than kind of a control thing. Is there a second? Thank you. And you don't know what we're talking about, so. Okay. All right. That's another one for Barbara. Okay. So all in favor, unless there's a discussion, can we just vote? Okay. It is that we have a task force to work on setting up a town hall meeting on these questions all of these questions of the crisis in Pacifica for the Bay Area. For the Bay Area, okay? Crisis in Pacifica, town hall meeting for the Bay Area from a task force of the KPFA LSB. All right, and we've got a second. Can we just vote on this? All right, roll call. Task force. 501c3 task force.
Thank you. Thank you, Aki.
Okay, Adams?
Yes.
Adams, yes. Alderson, yes. Campisi?
Yes.
Campisi, yes. Fest? Fest abstain. Fuentes not here. Futrin?
Yes.
Futrin. Yes, Gottesman not here, Goen not here, Hernandez not here, Jacobs,
yeah.
Jacobs, yes, Coburn.
Present, not voting.
Just keep going.
Abstain.
Just stop it. Stop it. Just do what she says.
Okay, it's not, there's...
Stop it.
I know. Lynch.
Yes.
Lynch, yes. Moore, not here. Morgan, not here. Olson, not here. Sawyer, not here. Scruggs, not here. Sterling, not here. Tao Nichols, not here. Travis.
Yes.
Travis, yes. Whipperman.
Yes.
Whipperman, yes. White.
Yes.
White, yes. Wilkinson, not here. And Withers, not here. That's 9 yes. No. No. 1 abstention. 1 present, not voting.
Okay.
All right. There is a outstanding thing that Barbara had, her motion about asking people stations. It is the KPFA LSB recommends that the PNB encourage any station having extreme difficulty meeting necessary expenses, particularly rent payments, to seek a cost-saving relocation within its area to an educational institution with broadcast facilities to share. Is there a second? All right. Is there discussion? Yes. Do you like to table it? Is there there's a second on that? Who's in favor of tabling it? It's tabled. Can we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second?
I object.
Second. All in favor, please raise your hand. Or march to the door. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much. I think this is a very productive meeting and a meeting that we should be proud of. Thank you very much.